You're watching Single Process with Joe and Bob. We've created this video series to help you navigate the difficult process of divorce, and we hope this helps you on your journey. Our episode today is on collaborative divorce. So I hadn't heard of this when I started mediating, and I thought it was just an idea that you were going to be cooperative and collaborative in your approach.
Right, totally. But I guess it's an actual process that you can sign up to be in a collaborative divorce. And it's important. I mean, of all the segments we've done, this is probably one of the key ones.
Absolutely, because there are some real advantages to this, in my opinion, over mediation. And I can't wait to have Jill Bix tell us all about it.
Agreed. So today we have with us expert Jill Bix. Jill is a former corporate litigator who now focuses more on family law. And as part of that, she's become an expert in collaborative divorce. So thank you, Jill, for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So start with the whole process. Are you being collaborative or is it a collaborate divorce?
That's the best question ever, actually, because so many people think that if I'm being cooperative and collaborative, that's what this is. No, collaborative divorce is a special process where you actually sign an agreement saying that if you choose to litigate, meaning go to court, meaning do motions and go to court.
So this collaborative process breaks down and you choose instead to move to litigation. If that happens,
you sign an agreement that says we lose our attorneys and we have to start all over again.
Okay. So who should be doing collaborative divorce and who shouldn't be doing it?
Well, I think mostly everyone can do it. Certainly there are some couples that shouldn't. If there's abuse, like really serious abuse, no. But almost everyone can, even couples that are fighting a lot and aren't communicating, because the collaborative process is interdisciplinary, meaning we bring into the process mental health professionals and financial professionals who become neutral and address the issues that can sometimes bring a divorce, make it crazy and blow up.
Right. But I'm going to back up one second. You each have your own lawyer in this process. Is that correct?
Yes, you do. So that's what makes it different than mediation. In mediation, you're sitting with a neutral person who is not your lawyer, who is simply there to help you discuss issues and make decisions. But they're not representing either one of you. In the collaborative process, you and your spouse have a lawyer sitting with you the whole time. And those lawyers are not looking to rip out each other's throats. They're more problem solvers. Okay. And if you can think of it more, a divorce as a transaction that has to happen with decisions that are financial, that are about your children that have to happen, your lawyers are acting more like corporate attorneys, helping you make the deal.
And so there's this team that's, it sounds like, being built around it. So you each have your own lawyer, and then you bring in these other professionals. Would you bring in a therapist, potentially, to help with kids' issues?
Yes, exactly. So, again, the role of that person in the process is not a therapist. They're not giving therapy, but they are skilled and in the developmental needs of children, for example. Mm-hmm. And they're neutral. So they're helping you figure out how to, you know, create two homes for your children. And that's what happens in a divorce, as opposed to, you know, I want X percent, I want Y percent. You're thinking about these issues from a much more win-win.
Holistic, healthy family approach.
Correct.
Do you have to each have a lawyer, or can you use somebody who's not a licensed attorney?
Well, no, the collaborative divorce process has each of you being represented by a lawyer. Okay. That's the basic.
And do you have to have I think I heard that your lawyer has to be certified in the collaborative divorce arena. Who certifies you?
So that's a really great question, because there are a lot of lawyers out there who say they're collaborative, and they do collaborative divorce, but they're not trained, and they don't sign that agreement. And so if you get a lawyer who says they're collaborative and doing the collaborative process, but they're not doing that, you're really still in that traditional process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no difference, because you guys probably know and heard this from your former experts. Almost every divorce, upwards of 95%, resolve before a trial. They settle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you want them to settle.
And you want them to settle, but the tools and the you know, and the tactics and the strategies of getting to that settlement are very, very different in a traditional litigated scenario than in the collaborative divorce process.
We've had litigators say to us that a big part of the success of the divorce process depends on who's on the other end of the table. And when you go into the collaboration process, it's built in.
Yes.
You're all supposed to be working toward the same end.
Right.
Yes?
A lot of collaborative professionals work in groups of, you know, lawyers who've been trained together, mental health professionals, and financial professionals who are trained together and know how the process is supposed to work. So they're used to each other. They're used to helping other couples in a systematic way. And I want to touch on this financial neutral person and explain what that is.
What are you talking about, a financial neutral person? Who is that?
That's a person who can serve. They're usually a divorce financial planner or someone like that. They're very sophisticated financially. And they will help create a win-win scenario based on all the very complicated tax.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is that somebody, love that. Because we talked with Paul when we were talking with our tax experts and our financial people. We were saying we were just at sea and trying to figure it out in the mediation process without any input like that.
Well, you can use that person in the mediation process, but you cannot in litigation. So
typically you don't.
Okay. And typically you don't in mediation either.
Either, I know, I agree.
Do you still need review counsel? I guess you don't, right? So this takes the need for that off the table.
You have built-in review counsel.
Like in a mediation, you'd have review counsel, somebody who might review your mediation agreement, so it's another set of legal fees.
Exactly.
You get rid of that need.
You get rid of that. But the beauty of having your lawyer with you during the negotiations, and people do things outside, you know, of these meeting rooms sometimes too, but you're not learning about other options at the end of the process, which sometimes happens in mediation.
Okay.
You know, you're thinking through all your options as the discussion is going on, as the sessions happen. And one more thing I want to say about this financial professional. In the typical process where you have litigation, two people are collecting the documents that are necessary to understand the finances. So you might give your lawyer your statements, your husband gives his lawyer his statements, they look at the statements, count them, make sure nothing's missing, exchange them. The lawyer then reviews the statements that the other person provided. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
In the collaborative process, that neutral person, one person.
Uh-huh.
You pay once, asks for the documents, collects the documents. And here's a really interesting example. We had a case where there was some illegitimate spending going on, let's say.
Post-separation.
Very atypical of a divorce.
During the marriage. And I represented the wife, and she knew that if she asked for the documents, the husband would get very defensive, you know, very angry at her. She didn't want to be the one asking. So we got a neutral person in, and the neutral person said, oh, this is typical in all cases. You need to give me all of these documents.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing he could say.
Oh, I love it.
I love that.
Totally neutralized that issue.
Do people tend to, with post-divorce issues, go back to their collaborative team?
That's a good
to
question.
Resolve things? Because as we've discovered and discussed with many of our experts, things come up. Just because you're divorced,
life is dynamic.
Done.
So the minute you sign that agreement, things start changing, and inevitably you're back at the table. Yeah. So can you go back to your?
Yes, you can. And I'll say two things about that. First, if you're in this process where you're kind of holistically resolving these issues in a way that is much more future oriented and much more problem solving, you eliminate so much the post judgment stuff.
Oh, really?
Those are the statistics. But secondarily, you do have a team in place if something comes up. People who've worked with you, people who know the issues, who know your kids, and it's a quick phone call rather than starting from scratch.
And from a cost standpoint, what would you say about collaborative divorce?
I think that it is enormously efficient, whereas litigation is not. And the cost varies. It just depends on how much help and support people need. Not everybody needs the mental health professional and the neutral financial person. Mm-hmm. Some people need all of them, and having all of them makes it less expensive, ultimately. So there's no rule of thumb that I can offer, but I can say without a doubt that it's a lot less expensive than litigation.
Well, I had asked you before we taped this segment, if you were going to pick a way to get divorced, and I understand you're happily married. Congratulations.
but 30 years.
That's amazing. You would do collaborative divorce?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because even as a lawyer, and I know all this stuff, I don't necessarily think I could advocate for myself as well or be thinking mm-hmm. of all the different problems that might come up. I wouldn't be clear-headed. So having that person and not allowing all the emotional feelings that have to come out, derailing the process is about as good as it's going to get. It's not easy.
Jill, one important question, though, is what happens if it doesn't work, if this process breaks down? What are your options?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because now you're giving up your lawyer, right?
Yeah. So what I've done and my group does is we write into the collaborative divorce agreement that we are going to, if we come to an impasse, which doesn't really happen very often, we're going to go to mediation with either a retired judge. There are a lot of retired judges now who do this. Or just another mediator to have someone else help generate new ideas. And that takes care of it. Because people who enter this process don't want to litigate.
Right. Yeah. No one should want to litigate, right?
No one should want to litigate.
Jill, I'm so grateful that you were here because I think divorce is confusing enough, right? Without understanding what each process truly does for you. And there's very little downside to collaboration. So thank you.
Thank you, Jill. So great to have you.
So for more information on collaborative divorce and other topics, please log on to singleprocess.me.